Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Carden Roberts, Craig on vacation. Joe just had the opportunity to meet our new fearless leader, Spike Eskin.
It's just like Charlo.
Oh, my God.
Very similar. I thought they were like brothers.
And Spike and I had a 10-second conversation on the NBA, which is more seconds than Chernoff and I ever had.
And ever, probably.
Usually it was, the Nets are terrible.
Are you down on Durant now or what?
Am I down on Durant?
Yes.
Am I down on him?
Yes.
I am down on every human being in that cesspool of an organization.
They should just wipe it clean.
I'm down
on... If I was Joe Tsai, get rid of everybody.
Well, the biggest problem, though, was Joseph Tsai. So is he selling the team? Is he leaving?
Yeah, well...
Because I blame him the most. I blame Kevin Durant. I blame Sean Marks.
Yep.
Steve Nash, I don't blame. He's an irrelevant, pathetic head coach.
Right.
Like, whatever.
Right.
Like, when I hear Kevin Durant wants the coach out, I say, fine. Like, that's been going on for years. Magic Johnson's gotten coaches fired.
But now he's trying to say that he didn't bring Nash in? Come on.
I think we all...
Am I supposed to believe that?
I think we all assume that he did. And maybe he did. How did he get rid
of Kenny Atkinson for this guy?
Because the veteran star players wanted him, which is the assumption we all made.
Right.
But this situation now has become untenable. Like, they can't run it back, as people say. It can't happen because Kevin Durant's miserable. He doesn't want to be here. And it's just, it's stunning. Because when he signed that extension and he talked so glowingly about being a Net and how this is a long-term thing, I was believing, this is my guy.
Right.
I got my guy.
Right.
KD's going to be here. And then all of a sudden, to kick us in the you-know-whats say, get me the hell out of here.
Unbelievable.
Ugh.
Unbelievable.
Thank you, Mets, for taking my mind off.
Yes. Thank God for it. Am I supposed to read the spot here now? I mean, enemy is spot. I don't know. What does that mean? Does that mean... What does this mean? Because I don't know sign language. I barely know English.
What do you want him to do?
We're going into the break with the reads.
Okay. So
he gives it to you now so it doesn't bother you as you guys are speaking. So then when we go into break,
Let me know. You mean, say my ear ad or something that, read now. Because I don't know. I mean, I haven't done this in a long time. You know, this is almost like my rookie year.
It's understandable. Really. I got to be a lot more coaching.
Well,
doesn't it feel like, though, it's riding a bicycle? I know the last show we did was a year ago.
It seems like that you went, like we're in the middle of, 2018
or
something.
I was going to say.
There's no difference.
Other than the seating arrangement, because I sit in a different seat.
Right.
Other than that.
Right. Well, you're the same seat you always were.
No, I used to sit next to you, like direct.
Were you sitting next to me?
No, I'm two seats over.
Am I in cotton seat?
You're in where Craig sits.
Is he okay with that?
Yeah, he don't care. And where you used to sit. You both sat in the same spot.
Right.
When we did the show, I was one seat over. And what happened was initially, when we came back from the COVID stuff, we just were separated a little bit more. Then when they said, you can go back to your seat, I was like, no, I'm comfortable here now.
Right.
Like, I've grown
this
to like
this is your
it.
Spot now.
Yeah,
I get it.
I'm good. And SNY grew to accept it because they didn't like it at first.
Oh, they didn't like it?
They didn't love it. They didn't like the seating. But now they got used to it. They set up the cameras, and we're good to go. But yeah, I think when we do a show, it feels like it's 2018.
Well, you're not going to do a show. It doesn't matter. Right?
Yeah, I agree. Let's go to Steve out in Cincinnati. What's up, Steve?
Steve, how are you?
Guys, this is a treat. You're making my afternoon, and I can't wait to hear the Saturdays this fall.
Should be fun.
Thank you, Steve.
To one thing you were mentioning as far as how much Buck is making this team fun, in my lifetime, I'm going to be 37 this year. This is the most fun I've had watching a team since 99. He actively tries to win games rather than losing. It's a novel concept as a Mets fan, but man, it's sweet.
Yeah. This team is. I don't know what's going to happen with this team when all is said and done, but this is a better team than 99.
Oh,
it's not even debatable.
Not even.
And
close.
That was a good team, but this is a better team than 99. No doubt.
And then to Evan, you had mentioned Old Timers Day coming up, and one of the names which I saw on the list Steve Traxel, the human rain delay.
Yeah, Steve Traxel. He's coming all time.
Here's a fun nugget about him.
Wow.
I was going to
be there.
You got to break the list down for me.
Yeah, let's go through the list now because you brought up some of the names.
We don't do nothing at 3 o'clock. We don't like
it. No. We blow through. We do this. We give away Yankee tickets. That's what we do at 3 o'clock.
Yes.
Because it's a Jersey Mike's Yankee box office blitz. We do this every single day at 3 o'clock or at least as close to 3 o'clock as we can get to. And you'll have a chance to see the New York Yankees and the Toronto Blue Jays. Could be a big game if the Blue Jays actually won a few games. On Saturday, August 20th, we'll take caller 2-866-540-WFAN for your chance to win. All from Jersey Mike's, the official sub-sandwich shop of the Yankees, box office blitz, and the fan. Yeah, no top of the hour update. We just do whatever the hell we want.
All right, well,
They're bringing back four managers.
Four men. Well, Bobby V's got to be back.
Bobby Valentine will be there.
Right. Terry Collins
will be there.
Let's see, two other managers they're bringing back.
Yes.
We know they're not bringing Mickey Callaway back.
Mickey,
I don't think we have to worry about Mickey.
I give you a hint. One of the managers.
They're not bringing like Art Howe back, are they?
No, but one of the managers.
Jeff Torborg
never made the playoffs with the Mets.
Jeff Torborg.
The other one did make the playoffs. Jeff Torborg is not one of the guys to come.
Jeff
back.
Torborg did not make it.
No.
Huh? Okay.
Put it this way: the manager they're bringing back.
Davey's got to come back, right?
He will not be coming back.
Why?
I don't know his condition right now. How old is he
really? Oh, I don't know. Is he really that bad?
I thought I read.
Is that the reason?
Well, I'm assuming. I thought I read recently that he was sick, but I could be dead wrong about that. I'm not sure.
Right.
But Davey's not one of them.
Willie
Randolph is the manager that
has
some postseason
success. And we still haven't
figured
out why Willie has not gotten another managerial job.
Crazy, right?
It just doesn't make sense.
Never got another shot.
At all.
And the other manager was not successful here, but he's known for other things.
He's known for other things.
Yes.
So it's not Torborg.
It's not Jeff Torborg.
It's not Art Howe.
It's somebody who will get a big ovation despite not being a great manager when he was here.
Okay.
That's a fair way to describe it.
That's a fair way. Joe Torre. Okay. Yeah, he'll get a big ovation.
He'll get a big ovation.
Yes, he will.
Not because of his Met history, really.
No.
But because he's liked and respected. Bartolo Colon will be there.
Bartolo. Is he going to hit Bartolo?
I hope so.
I have a bobblehead downstairs in my little museum. Someday you got to come and see my little museum I have. And I got it's a bobblehead of Bartolo hitting the home run in
yes,
San Diego.
Yes, I have that one too.
Do you have that one?
It's awesome.
It really is good.
They've got the father of the best quarterback in the NFL coming. Pat Mahomes will be in the building.
Oh, my God, yes.
Al Leiter.
Al. Good pitcher. Al was good. He didn't like me, but he's a good pitcher.
How about this one? So I was looking at the list thinking, who's going to come back that could be booed? Like, are there guys that could come back where Met fans would say...
Carlos Baerga?
He'd be a good
Robbie
example.
Robbie
Alomar? Alomar Baerga not coming back.
Yeah, I can't imagine why.
But I'm going to give you a guy who very well could be booed, even though he was a good Met. He was a good Met.
Benitez.
Armando Benitez will not be coming back.
Benitez
and you're right.
Not.
He would get booed.
He would definitely get booed.
Mike Hampton.
Yeah, well, Mike Hampton would get booed because he took off.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, he pitched for 1 year. And he said, they went to the World Series. The guy had a really good year. And then he says, the school system's better in Colorado.
Right.
And then we never heard from the guy again.
Exactly.
That was basically the end of his career.
He went to Colorado, went to Atlanta, bounced around a little bit.
Right,
like, I'm not convinced.
But he's coming back, Mike Hampton?
He's on the list.
Wow.
Is he getting cheered when he walks out there? I know it's been 22 years.
There might be a lot of young people don't even know who he is.
Well, that's,
it's 22 years ago already. It's hard to believe.
I mean, there aren't a lot of old Mets on this list. Like, Ron Swoboda will be there,
right.
Played in the 60s. Art Shlansky will be there. Cleon Jones will be there.
Right. Buddy Harrelson, I know he's got some issues physically, right?
I don't see Buddy on the
Crane
list.
Crane he's got to be there.
Ed Crane will be there.
Right.
They got Piazza coming back.
Right.
They got Todd Hundley coming
back. No Olerud,
no. I didn't see John Olerud, but it's a
Fonzie's got to be there, right?
Edgardo Alfonso.
How about Ray Ordonez?
Ray Ordonez, no. And he's been back since.
Has he?
Because he was there for the Hall of Fame induction ceremony for Edgardo Alfonso last year.
We know Carl Everett won't be there.
Carl Everett will not be there. Benny Agbayani will be there.
Oh, okay. Well, he should be. Benny was a good man.
He was.
Andy Chavez, the great catch, even though he lost.
Jay Payton will be there.
Like, the Andy Chavez catch is, like, very similar to the John Starks dunk.
Oh, same thing.
Now the Knicks did win the game.
Right.
But, you know, and then the Mets did not win that game. But,
No, I agree with you.
Painful.
Now, obviously, it's changed because of what's happening with Durant, but the Game 5 performance against the Bucks, that epic Game 5 performance.
That's right.
Why would I think back on that in such a positive light? They lost the series.
Right.
I don't. I remember right after the game saying the same thing. They better win the series. If they don't, what am I going to look back on this and say?
Absolutely.
David Cohn will be back.
Right.
And what's interesting about David Cohn is...
Should be in the Hall of Fame.
So he's a Yankee announcer. So obviously they were able to make the schedule
work. Doing the... what is he doing this? Sunday night? Yes. ESPN, right?
He does Sunday Night Baseball.
Right.
So he does...
By the way, this nonsense that I can't watch the Met game tomorrow night. I mean, come on. And every and every Yankee game is on. Every Friday Yankee game is on streaming now.
Yeah.
Do you have that, bro?
Yeah, on Amazon.
Do you?
Everybody
what
has Mets it.
On? Yeah, everyone kind of has
Joe,
Amazon. I bet you have Amazon.
You have it. You don't
do
know
I?
It.
Yes, yeah, you probably you, do.
My
you,
wife has it. Yeah, she's got all the bells and whistle phones.
But
you know?
It's not even that. Like if you ask your wife, hey, when we order stuff, do we use Amazon Prime?
Right.
There's a good chance she's going to
say probably does.
She's going to say yes. That's all you need. If you have that service, you can watch the game.
Okay.
The Apple TV thing is the same thing.
Who are the announcers, do you know?
For which one?
For Apple.
So Amazon, I'm sorry, Amazon with the Yankees is the same crew. So it makes no difference on how you watch it.
Yeah, but Gary and Keith and Ron aren't doing
it. So for Apple TV Plus, it's a completely different crew.
All right.
I forget who's going to get this one because they've had two different crews. One involved Chris Young, the former Met outfielder.
Oh, yeah.
One involved, was Jeff Francoeur on one of the crews?
Frenchie.
Yeah.
Is he coming back for Old Times Day?
I don't see him. I don't see him on the list.
Okay.
When I think of Jeffrey and Corey, I think of him lining into that triple play against the Phillies.
Oh, against the Phillies? I think of his arm in right field.
He did have a great arm. Oh, but they got
so does Marte, by the way.
So David Cohn's on the list. He's a Yankee announcer. They are missing a prominent Met that has to be there.
Sid Fernandez?
And he's a Yankee announcer. Carlos Beltran.
Oh, Beltran, yeah. Well, look, they hose Beltran.
Yeah, but this group didn't.
Nah, bro. Look, you know how I never loved Beltran, when he was played for the Mets?
No, I know.
I never loved him. I love him now. I mean, the fact that this guy got so like everybody else that was involved in this Houston scandal, and I like Houston because of this. You know that. No, really. I mean, I'll root for them against anybody that's not the Mets.
Right.
I can tell you right now.
Okay.
Now you know how I feel about that. But everybody, I mean, Altuve, Springer, Correa, Bregman, go right on down the line. Nobody, the manager, nothing, Hinch, he's back, Cora's back. I mean, what? And Beltran gets hosed.
The GM won't come back, Jeff Luhnow.
Okay.
He's the one guy who I agree.
Okay.
And Beltran, see, here's the thing. I think Beltran can come back. I think the problem is he was going to be a first-time manager.
Right.
The Mets were taking a risk.
Right.
I don't think teams are knocking down the door for an unknown to be their manager. Right. The thing about A.J. Hinch is he was a great manager. So, of course, teams wanted to hire him like Detroit.
Cora as well.
Cora was a great manager. So, of course, the Red Sox wanted to bring him back. So, I think he got screwed in the moment. I think now it's just he's Carlos Beltran.
Right.
Like, I don't think he's associated with that scandal anymore. I really don't.
Well, he shouldn't
be. It's not going to keep him from getting a job is what I should say.
To keep him out. Look, I don't know if he's a Hall of Famer, but does it keep him out at all?
No, I don't think it will.
And you don't think that this thing is going to, that they're going to mess with Altuve?
No.
You don't think so?
Jose Altuve is a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Oh, there's no question. Look, I told you, to me, I have put him ahead now of Joe Morgan as the greatest second baseman in my lifetime.
That's high praise.
He's pretty good.
That's high praise. I mean, he is.
There's no doubt about it.
From a clutch standpoint.
That's tremendous.
From a stat standpoint.
Oh, my God.
And the Astros have lost so many guys over the years.
I was a little upset with one thing with him, though. Because I was all over the Yankee-Astro series. To me, that's phenomenal baseball.
Yeah, great baseball.
Tremendous. And obviously, I'm rooting for Houston. Sorry, Yankee fan.
Right.
And I love when Altuve kills him. But I got to tell you, I mean, you watch this guy play. I mean, the guy... He's unbelievable how good this guy is. But the one thing that ticked me off, they're playing the Yankees, and he hit a ground ball, I don't know where to shoot, and he didn't run it out. He jogged
it.
I got to tell you, I was like, what are you doing here?
That did
bother me. I love Altuve, that bothered me.
Here's my defense of that. I've noticed Starling Marte does that on certain balls.
Well, certain balls.
Exact,
when he knows he's out.
Exactly. Because
right.
I also
well,
think
he's also
he
got,
knows.
He don't want to mess up with his groin or whatever the injury is.
You
had.
Don't think Altuve's thinking the same thing
at his
age?
Maybe.
I do think there are players. That's why this whole hustling, non-hustling thing, it's not an exact science. Like, I totally get a veteran player saying, what? I know my body. I know when I can sniff a hit. And if I could sniff a hit, man, I'm a bust.
Well, Marte's busting it if he can.
Yeah,
or if he's got to beat out a double play.
I think Altuve is the same thing. Like, I think when you become a veteran.
Like I said, I love the guys.
No, dude, he's an
that was your guy great. Years ago.
Loved him.
When that other guy who used to work here was like, Altuve, he's not any good.
Wow.
I forget the guy's name. He worked here for a long time.
You know who agreed with that
guy? I think
guy
he worked
well?
With Chris Russo.
The other guy who very, very much
yeah, here
pirated.
We go. What's that, Chris? Nah, here we go. I know where he's going.
He's about to get hammered.
Yeah.
So,
who are we hammering?
Big Mac.
Me and Mike were both proposition for a trade, and we both said no to it. And obviously,
oh, is that
we
right?
Were
you
stupid.
Said no. That well, I'm not going to get on you.
No, because you said no too. Here's what I did.
I did. Too. I said no.
I'll tell you exactly the trade.
Yeah. I was wrong,
and you should remember.
I was wrong.
It was after 2015. So I give you the exact timing. Right after 2015.
Yeah, what was the trade
to you? I said straight up Altuve for Harvey. And you said, Harvey, we can't trade him. He's our guy. Now, I didn't expect Harvey to fall off the deep end, so it's not like I predicted that by any stretch.
By the way.
But I thought, hey, peak value, Altuve, second. Let's go. Let's do it.
Right.
You said, no. This guy's worse because I said Betances and Gardner.
Oh, wow.
For Altuve.
Really?
Mike
Betances
said,
and
no
Gardner?
Way you can't do that.
It was 2015.
That.
He had one good year. He's 5'2".
By the way,
Who knew?
I have to say, I have a warm place in my heart for Matt Harvey.
No, I agree.
I really do. I mean, the fact that my lasting memory will be going out there, game five of the World Series, even though I lost, wanting the baseball. I have great respect.
No, I totally agree.
And
with
I
you.
Feel so bad for Woods. Look, the guy, you know how I felt about that.
Yeah.
He was biting off more than he can chew. He wasn't there yet to be doing the stuff he was doing.
No, I understand.
Okay? That was the problem I had. And it came back to bite him. Let's be honest.
Look at the lifestyle. We heard all about that during that case with the Angel pitcher.
Came back to
away.
Bite him.
No doubt. If he was at Old Timers Day, and he's not on the list, I think he would get a standing
huge
ovation.
Huge ovation for him.
Yeah, I think Met fans would say thank you. And yesterday of all days, my oldest son Jet's really getting into the Mets. Like, knows things, picks up on information.
Who's his favorite player, DeGrom?
Jacob DeGrom.
Okay.
Yeah, now
Pete?
Right. Pete's up there.
Yeah.
Look, the tough thing about DeGrom is that he hadn't pitched in a year.
Right.
So for
right.
the last year, I've told him about Jake. He's watched highlights of Jake, but he didn't remember him pitching. Yeah. It was a year ago.
Pete's
and when you're five, you don't remember as much from when you're four.
Right.
So yesterday, he's going through all the
same thing like when you're like 69 or almost. You don't remember as much as when you were like 67.
Right. Exactly the same.
No, I really haven't had that issue.
We're going through Met statues that I have, and he's saying, who's this guy?
Right.
And I would tell him a story.
Right.
And we got the Harvey, because I had a Matt Harvey
I got
statue.
Harvey. He's there.
And he says, who's that? And that's how I described him. I said, so he was great for a short period of time, but what I'll always appreciate about him is, even though I didn't agree with the decision,
right.
In the biggest game with the season on the line, he wanted the baseball.
And with all that stuff that was going down that year with Boris, you know, maybe he shouldn't pitch, shut him down in the middle of August while the Mets are trying to win a division, and Harvey refused to shut down. So I will always feel, I feel bad for the guy.
He was good, but the problem with that whole shutdown thing is he was a part of wanting to be shut down. And then apparently David Wright had a conversation with
him. Is
that
what happened? I didn't remember that.
Because Boris was big on the shutdown.
Oh, yeah.
I think Harvey was going along with it, like, hey, my career is number one. And looking at what happened to his career, I could understand looking back at that differently. And David Wright apparently sat him down and said,
I didn't realize that.
Dude, these opportunities don't come around often. He was right.
Yeah.
We got to win,
and
we need you. And then obviously Harvey broke through the innings limit. And I don't know if that led to his injuries.
Yeah, we'll never know.
I would assume his career was going to follow the same path either way. I like to think that.
Yeah.
Same thing with Santana, by the way, with the no-hitter. I don't think that if he doesn't throw that many
pitches.
Well,
Santana was kind of near the end anyway, I guess, at that point.
Yeah. That's why I don't think it was going to make that big of a difference.
You pumped up about the no-hitter with five guys?
First of all,
it was okay.
So it was weird for me because that night I didn't go to the game, number one.
Right.
So I wasn't there. And I was very tired that night. I went to bed. And I watched the game starting at midnight on DVR.
You did?
So when the game ended at 2:30 in the morning, it was a very weird feeling knowing everyone experienced that. I'm by myself. Everybody's sleeping. And I'm like, I didn't know how to feel about the whole thing. So I think my circumstances made it less special for me only because I wasn't in the building. I didn't watch it live.
Right,
I wasn't like texting my
friends.
Well,
you were at Santana's no-hitter, right?
I was there, yes. Dude, that's a top moment for me.
Oh, sure. Of course.
Getting to witness that.
Yeah.
So, and it was real.
That's my top moment will always be. I was at the Buckner game. So there's not much that's going to top that one.
Hopefully something this year.
Well, maybe.
That's the hope.
Maybe not as much drama. How about, I don't need the kind of drama I had to deal with in 86. You know what
I
mean?
No, I want to see him dominate.
Yeah, right. Of course.
Like, I want to see 3-4-4. That's what I want. 10-0, win a championship.
Yeah, of course. Nice and easy. 98 Yankees.
Yeah.
That's it.
And they had some drama, but it was minimal.
Minimal.
The
well, they were down 2-1 to Cleveland.
Down 2-1 to Cleveland.
And then
El Duque
had the great game in game four, and it was on from there.
The Yankee fan had 72 hours of drama.
Right.
And even game one against the Padres, I guess they had a little bit of drama.
I was at that game.
You were at the Tino game?
I was. I was at that game. Game one. Yep.
Could you tell it was strike three?
Not where I was. They had me, and I was in a left field bleachers somewhere.
Oh, okay.
I was lucky I could see who was up. They had me, I was with the media. I was in my overnight days.
No, I understand.
And they put me somewhere. But I was there.
And that was a great team. That was the greatest team I've ever seen.
Of all time.
We'll get to the Yankees and the state of them today. Brian Costello's going to stop by, our old friend.
Oh, good.
Get an update on the Jets situation. They did sign Dwayne Brown today.
Good.
And more of your calls at 877.
He didn't get hurt yet, though, right?
Not yet.
Terrible.
All good so far. And we do have a giant preseason game tonight.
That's right. You'll hear right here on WFAN. Yeah? Time to beat the Patriots. I'm not talking about the Giants. Time for our team.
Yeah, because the Giants beat the Patriots.
The overrated Patriots.
Yes.
As a Mac Jones is not that good.
No question.
If he didn't have Bill Belichick as his coach, let's be real. You know?
No doubt. I agree with him.
It's Carton and Roberts on the Fan. WFAN, WFAN-FM, and WFAN.com.
And we got some breaking NBA news that I think you will be a fan of.
Yeah, I think Zuman already told me, and I am.
Big but you gotta learn. You don't tell him. Let me tell him this stuff.
You should have told him. Okay.
Yeah, it's all right. The NBA league-wide will retire Bill Russell's number 6.
And you know what? I'm happy to hear that. They did it before they retired Jordan's 23, which I'm a little surprised about. No, I am. Aren't you?
You can't retire Jordan's 23. You can't. Just like you can't retire Gretzky's 99, because I don't believe you should ever retire a number universally because of their ability on the field or the court. It's got to be more than that.
Yeah.
And Bill Russell, it's everything. Yeah. Obviously,
well,
it's his ability.
He was a leader in the civil rights movement back in the 60s. There's no doubt about it. He's the first ever black head coach in the history of professional sports.
Yes.
And, you know, you can make a comment, you know, in all due respect to whoever guy you want to give me, okay, you could make, and believe me, okay, when I could not stand those Celtic teams. I mean, you talk about, sure. I mean, I rooted against them every which way. I rooted for the Lakers every year they played them in the finals and beat them every year. I rooted for Wilt against him no matter where he was, Philadelphia, with the San Francisco, wherever Wilt was, I was rooting for him against Russell. But there's no, look, the guy won 11 championships in 13 years. He deserves it. Number 6.
No doubt.
Hanging from all the rafters.
So are they going to grandfather in players who are currently wearing number 6 the way MLB did with 42, where a guy like Mo Vaughn and Mariano Rivera could wear it? Because I am sure, Joe, there are a lot of Knicks fans that need to know, do I have to get a new Quentin Grimes jersey? Like, what am I doing?
Yeah, I'm sure that's a big...
There are some Nets fans saying, do I have to get a new David Duke Jr. jersey?
I will say one thing.
Yes.
Okay? It will bother me a little bit that I got to see Bill Russell's number 6 hanging from the garden.
I understand.
There is a little bit of like, really? You know what I mean?
Yeah, so
is a little bit of that.
Do they
hang in all due respect to the greatness of Russell, there's no question about it.
He was a rival of yours. Like, I understand that.
Well, the Knicks basically, for most of the years Russell played, the Knicks stunk.
Right.
You know?
That's true, yeah. By the time the Knicks were turning it around, that's when he was...
Well, 69, the Knicks played them in the conference final.
Right.
And that turn, they wound up beating them in 6.
That was the year Russell coached,
that
right?
Russell was the coach, yes. And that was it. That was his swan song.
Right.
You know, and then they beat the Lakers, you know, Wilt, Baylor, and West in the finals.
Right.
You know, Jack Kent Cook had the balloons at the Forum in Game 7.
So when they put the number up at, let's say, Madison Square Garden,
right?
Do they do it with the Celtic green, or do they kind of have it just as a...
Boy.
Number 6. Because this actually does matter. Because if you're a Knicks fan, you respect what Russell did off the court, and you respect everything about him on the court. It's more, do you want to have anything Celtic related? And so you could put it up there, just not have it in that Celtic green and white.
That's a tough one. I will say this, I'd rather see him up there than Michael. Even though I've grown to really respect, I mean, my feeling for Michael Jordan has done a complete change.
No, I understand.
And my feeling for LeBron James has also done a complete change the other way.
Right.
So, you know, but that's the only thing. It'll be a little difficult with Russell.
They are grandfathering it in, by the way, according to Big Mac, or at least he read that somewhere. I don't think he's
said
it. Yes.
So if you got number 6 they asked me, I said, yeah, you should.
You can keep number 6 until you retire.
Yes. Correct. Which is exactly what MLB did with 42. That's how Mariano Rivera was able to wear it so much later. Because remember, they retired Jackie's number in 1997.
Right.
That was Mariano's third year
Bill
in the
Clinton
major leagues.
Was still president.
Yeah, it was very... Wow, he was limping out there with Jackie.
I remember it.
He was on his the crutches that day. Let's go to...
So many things I can say. I won't continue.
No, he did not have a cigar with him. Let's go to Tom in Lake Hiawatha. What's up, Tom?
Tom, how are you, Tom?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Today's a great day because... Finally, Joe Benigno has come back home.
Well, just thank you,
where
Tom.
You belong.
Thank you,
just
Tom.
Just where you belong. I'm enjoying this Mets season like crazy. And you tell me, Joe, because you're about as old as I am. We've been rooting for the Mets since the very beginning. Is that not a cool thing that you could say? Not only am I a fan, but I've been a fan since day one.
Yes. I mean, the fact that I have seen everything with the New York Mets, I don't know if I could say I'm proud of that, but it makes me feel good. You know, I don't know if it was the smartest decision becoming a Met fan in 1962, but I am thrilled that I have seen it all. Yes. Yes.
Well, for me, it was a smart decision because my dad was a Met fan, and my dad was, is, and always will be my hero. So he's a Met fan. I'm a Met fan.
Right.
But I did.
My father's guy was
actually
Joe DiMaggio, so that was his guy.
Mm. Well, my dad's guy was Ted Williams because
right.
when he was in the
okay,
but my dad signed up to be in the Navy after Pearl Harbor. He was in Boston for training. He goes into a barber shop to get a haircut, and who's in there but Ted Williams?
Wow.
So he talked to my father and his buddy. They're in uniform. He leaves. My father goes to pay for the haircut, and the barber says, "Don't bother. Mr. Williams took care of it for
me." Wow.
So Ted Williams is my dad's
guy. Yeah, I could see that.
I did notice the old timers list today, and I saw Joe Torre was going to be on there. I know you guys are going to be doing Saturdays. I'm assuming you're going to be doing that day. If Joe Torre comes on with you, I got two questions I'd love you to ask him. Number one, just tell him that we're very happy that we're not holding our breath to see Chase Utley get that suspension he deserved when he broke Tejada's leg.
That's the number one thing that comes to your mind with Joe Torre.
That's what you're going to ask Torre?
And not only that, but if the shortstop who got his leg broken, if his name was Jeter instead of Tejada, he would have had to tie Torre.
You know what, though? Hold on. Hey, the Ruben Tejada Chase Utley thing. Shouldn't we be over it? Mets won the war.
They did win the war.
Like, as bad as that was in game two and the bitterness we may have towards Chase Utley, my bitterness towards Chase Utley is not even about that play.
No, it's the Phillies.
Yeah, it's about him kicking the Mets'
ass. And the
ass.
Fact that he probably had more home runs than any other Met did at Citi Field.
That right field corner was known as the Chase corner
for a while. I got to ask you this question. You brought up Jeter. Have you watched any of this? This, what is it, 30 for 30, whatever it is, HBO, Jeter thing?
The Captain.
Have you watched it?
I have.
I'm sure it's...
Do you want me to tell you?
Well, I let me say this.
Have you?
No.
Okay.
I have a very difficult time with Jeter. Never loved him.
Okay.
Killed my team. Oh. You know, don't tell me about Chipper Jones, okay? This guy was the all-time Met killer.
I agree with you on that.
Killed him.
I agree.
Okay? We all know about Game 4 of the World Series, all of that. Okay? He must have batted 480 against the Mets lifetime. No, I have some interest. I'm sure it's very good. I'm sure it's very interesting, you know, similar to the Jordan thing. Okay? But I just can't.
Well, I feel the exact same way as you about Derek Jeter and the way he killed this team. But I'm also kind of interested, though.
I'm sure it's tremendous.
Like, Jordan killed your team, too.
He did.
And you watched that documentary.
I did.
Now, maybe it was timing. Maybe enough years had gone by for you to say,
I'm
going to watch it.
What also helped with the Jordan thing is there was no sports going on.
Okay.
Right?
That's true.
This was,
but you
we had to build our shows around that.
I totally agree. And it was a different time. It was perfect timing.
Right.
But don't you think you still would have watched it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I would have.
So maybe it's the fact that it came out, let's say, 20-plus years after he stuck it to us.
Right,
now, with Jeter, it is 20 years from 2000, but he retired not that long ago. So maybe it's like time heals wounds, and in 2030 you'd watch it? I don't know. You tell me. But you watched the Jordan one.
Yeah. I mean, look, I've thought about it. I can see watch it all on demand.
Yeah.
What did they start? They start when he was like his... What did they start it from?
So it actually starts from his last at-bat at Yankee Stadium, but then it goes back to the beginning of his career. So they start with his last at-bat, that last game, and then it goes back to him as a kid, you know, him growing up, the draft, where he thought he was going to be drafted, where he ended up, 1995, the experience of basically sitting on the bench and learning from the veterans. They get into the A-Rod stuff.
They do,
A-Rod
stuff. A-Rod's part of this, too?
Oh, he is. And he explains the interview.
Did they basically tell you they don't like each other?
Jeter will tell you that.
You don't like A-Rod?
Essentially, yes. But I'm a few episodes behind, so I'm not up necessarily to further stuff with A-Rod or anything else. But I was up to where they talked about the interview. Remember the A-Rod interview?
Oh, yeah.
Where he's like, it's good to be Jeter. You got all these guys. I don't worry about Jeter. I worry about Bernie. I worry about Tino.
Right.
And Jeter's point was, and I'm paraphrasing, that wasn't the first time he said that. Now, first time you say it, you're like, okay, maybe I accept your apology. But he had brought this up numerous times. Mm-hmm. So Jeter made it clear, yeah, I don't trust the guy anymore. Now, the guy came across as a jealous guy, and he did. That's how Alex did come across.
Well,
and Alex is there, modern times, trying to explain himself.
Is he?
It was interesting.
Now do they have like a lot of different opponents on and all of that?
I'm trying to remember. Like,
just his teammates?
A lot of teammates. And Roger Clemens talked about the bat, which I was glad to hear.
What'd he say?
I thought it was the bat.
He's still sticking by it.
He's not saying it was roid rage?
Chubby steroid guy is still sticking by
I thought it was a bat.
Still should be in the Hall of Fame.
Ball. No, he thought it was the ball.
Thought it was the ball. I apologize.
Ball.
Yeah. Thought it was the ball. He threw a freaking bat at Mike Piazza.
Have you been watching this? You have, right, Chris? You're all over it,
have
right?
not, no.
Really?
I watched the first one. I bored me to tears. And then I happened to go on vacation with the kids, and I lost track of it, and I haven't had a chance to pick it up yet.
Okay. All right. No, a few people have asked me that, and I can't do it.
I understand. Maybe time would cause you to be more open to watching it. It's interesting. I think the problem I'm having is that there's so much other stuff going on.
Right.
Kind of like the adverse of the Jordan thing where, of course, we're watching it.
Our baseball team's 34 games over 500.
right.
I mean, you know, so we're loving every minute of it.
So I guess there's just other things to watch at this point.
Right.
Richard in Manhattan.
Richard, how are you?
Hi, Joe.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Good to hear you, Joe.
Thank you, Richard.
You're going to take Altuve over Danny Ainge?
Altuve over Danny Ainge.
What?
Are you being funny about this or what?
Does Evan know that Danny Ainge played second for Toronto 43 years ago?
I think he actually played third. I'm sure Evan is 100%. Second. I'm sure Evan's aware of it.
Yes, okay. I am aware of it, yes.
Listen, old timers day, why don't they bring back? What have happened to our first closer? Do you remember our first closer, Joe?
Who's that, Ken McKenzie?
No, Ron Taylor.
Oh, Ron Taylor,
And then he became a physician, and he was the Montreal Expo.
Well, I got good news for you. Ken McKenzie will be at old timers.
Is that right?
Yes. He'll be there, right. Sure. Listen, we've been watching, Joe, long-time Yankees. Have you ever seen a Yankee team, ever, and I'm talking good, bad, indifferent, middle, great, one team depending on one guy as much as this Yankee team depends on Judge? I mean, you can go back to 69-70. Mercer at least had Munson and he had Roy White. I've never seen a Yankee team depend on one team like this team depends on.
I'm thinking about that when you say that. I mean, they were play. You know, look, they were pretty dependent on Mickey. You know, in the 50s and the early 60s. I mean, Mickey was. You know,
they had other great players on that team.
They were loaded.
And
I mean,
Yankees.
You know, the years Roger Maris had. You know, they still had Yogi at the back end of his career. You know, all the and they just had so many good guys: Bobby Richardson, Clete Boyer. You know, Bill Scourin. Later on, they had Pepitone, Elston Howard. You know, they had a lot of guys.
Look, the Yankees rely on Aaron Judge. Now, I think a lot of teams rely on their best player.
Sure.
But, yeah, he's the MVP, and that's part of why he's the MVP of the league.
Oh, God.
Because I think more than any other player in baseball, and to me this defines MVP, if you take him away, what are the Yankees?
Yep.
I think they're more damaged than any other team in baseball with any guy you come up with. Like, you take this guy away, what are they?
Yankees got to sign. Look, I mean, I'd love to see the Mets sign him. The Yankees got to sign this guy. I mean, what are they waiting for here, Chris? I mean, are they going to allow this guy to get to free agency? Because he's talking like he's ready to go to free agency.
Yeah. No, I think they're going to let him go to free agency now. Yeah. I don't think he wants to sign right now. Why would he sign right now?
Is he coming back here?
Yes.
You think 100%?
I feel very confident in it. Yes.
The Yankees can't let him go.
No,
they can't let him go.
Like, literally.
They have to sign him.
And I feel, I know you disagree. I feel that way about Jacob DeGrom where I can't let him go.
Well,
I understand. Okay,
I feel more about Pete that you can't let him go.
Right. But, well, Pete's not a free agent, though.
No, I
know. At that moment, I'll probably feel the same way.
Right.
But when a guy gets the free agency, it's always dangerous because you never know what a team's going to offer. But let's say the San Francisco Giants make him a godfather offer. What you've got to do is you got to match it.
You got it.
That's the spot you're in now.
They played the game. They didn't want to do it to start. He had an MVP season. You got to pay him. I think they know that. I think they will.
I wouldn't let him get the free agency. I'd pay him. I'd give him the contract sometime. As soon as the Yankees clinched the division, I'd sign.
Why would you do that?
I don't want to do that either.
No?
I don't. Not that he won't like continue to play well, but he's got this chip on his shoulder right now.
Yeah, I would
let him go
that
into
away.
The postseason thinking yeah. he needs to have a big postseason
to
make money.
I just think it's very risky to ever let a guy get the free agency.
I agree with you, but you have that 10-day period before they
do
hit
have
free
that.
Agency.
You do have that.
Like the Mets did with Piazza. Sign him then. But I wouldn't. I'm not saying it's the same as Isaiah Thomas, welcome to the playoffs, or Steve Francis jumping on the table when the Knicks were in the 8th seed for 30
Steve
seconds.
France.
But don't, I wouldn't celebrate anything before it happens. And so with the contract, you're already having this historical season out of him. Just wait.
Yeah.
Wait till it's
right.
over, and then do it.
They do have to sign him, though.
By the way,
Yankees have to sign him.
Of course. Say hello to your old friend, our old friend, Brian Costello, who joins the show.
Brian, are you with us now?
I am. Steve Francis. What was that at?
I know. Where did you come up?
Huh?
Steve, because he loved it. Because I don't think the Knicks won another game after that.
I loved it. He's right.
Right? Did they win again?
They didn't.
Oh, my God.
And I got... How about Mattingly for a player that the Yankees relied on with no one else after Winfield kind of tailed off?
Yeah, but you know what
Mattingly.
The difference is? No, the reason I didn't think
they
of that
good.
Is, yeah, I'm thinking of like
well, they
championship.
Were good. They just weren't a championship team.
Right.
They were a good team.
This is a Yankee team that's still on pace to win 100 games. They're still a championship caliber team.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, there have been other teams that rely on one guy. Like, the Angels are relying on Shohei Ohtani, who gives a crap.
Right. They're only 20 right. games under 500.
Right.
But give him the MVP, too. You know, because he pitches. So let's make him the MVP over Judge. If that happens, that's almost as big a disgrace as Albert Bell not winning in 1995. Almost.
Almost.
We're back. We're talking about We're Albert back. Bell. We're
yes.
back.
I had Albert Bell on my podcast. He
Did
was tremendous.
Really?
He was tremendous.
Wow.
He's a good dude. Man.
I couldn't believe he called me back.
He's a good dude.
He really is.
Hey, Brian, first off, Dwayne Brown has been signed. Great. Jets need depth. He's played left tackle his whole career. Is the plan for him to be the left tackle and Fant move to the right side, or is Dwayne Brown at 38 years old going to move to the right side for the first time?
I have to think he's going to play left tackle. I don't think they've sorted it out yet. I have a feeling there's some conversations that have to happen when he gets in the building. He's agreed to the contract. He's not here yet. He hasn't signed officially yet. So, I you know, they'll probably get past tomorrow's game and then sit down with George Fant over the weekend and figure this out. But I have to – Fant's played right tackle before. Obviously, he was – there for the Jets, you know, back when he first signed in 2020. He played there in Seattle. Dwayne Brown's played left tackle his whole career, so I think the logical move is to move Fant to right, the right side.
Mm. You agree with that, Joe, by
no,
the way?
Absolutely not.
Because
Fant's got to play left tackle. You know, Dwayne Brown, you're 37, learn how to play the right side. You're a veteran guy. You got to leave Fant alone, don't you?
I don't think they'll do that. Like, look at what they did with Vera Tucker and Tomlinson, right? They said we're going to move, you know, Tomlinson's put left guard his whole career. We're going to keep him there and move Vera Tucker to the right side. He can learn it. I just don't know at 37 if you're asking a guy to learn a different position. You know, and it's flipping sides. It depends on who you ask how hard that is. Some guys say it's nothing. Other guys say it's like learning to use your left hand.
But maybe my memory is off on this. Help me out here. When George Fant played right tackle for the New York Jets,
he wasn't great.
He wasn't good.
Right.
Like, so
yeah, right.
I've seen George Fant play right tackle, and he's below average. I've seen George Fant play left tackle. He was really good. I don't know what Dwayne Brown is on the right side. Like, I fear if you move Fant back to the right side, what are you getting at right tackle?
No, I think you're right. I mean, I think it's a valid concern, and that's why I thought this kind of, there's some people in the Jets world that have been like, oh, Dwayne Brown will solve all the problems. This isn't a slam dunk, I don't think. I do think it makes sense, and they're better. It's better than the in-house options they had, but this is one of the problems, is where does he play? And then he turns 37 on August 30th. We've seen the Jets through the years sign aging players who've had good careers. Doesn't always work out. You know, sometimes they get a year out of them. Sometimes they get nothing out of them.
Sometimes
Ryan Khalil.
Yes. Yeah.
Ryan Khalil a few years ago. You know, remember
Le'Veon
Ryan
Bell.
Clady?
How about that one? That worked out
Le'Veon
good, huh?
Bell. Mm. Remember when they brought Ryan Clady here after DeBrickashaw retired?
Neil O'Donnell. Out. I mean, you want me to start reeling these guys off? And I don't want to get in trouble, but I got to say this too. Even Boomer. I mean, really?
Oh, wow.
I mean, he was okay, but I mean, you know, he wasn't the guy he was with the Bengals. I know he also had three different head coaches 3 years in a row. I get that. So
yeah. No, so I don't think this is a slam dunk.
Boomer's mad at me now.
You know, but it, obviously they had to do something. You couldn't roll out Chuma Adoga as your starting right tackle. So
how good is this guy Mitchell, this rookie?
He's a fourth-round pick out of Louisiana.
Well,
so
that,
he's
what
raw.
Does that mean?
He's
I mean,
raw.
He
he's
still
raw.
Could be
I mean,
good.
He's not ready to play. He's
okay.
not ready to play.
Okay.
He's, you know, could he be in a year? Could he be ready to play? Maybe. But he's a fourth-round pick out of the University of Louisiana. He's not he needs a lot of work and a lot of seasoning. So I wouldn't want him to be the starter right now if you're the Jets.
I disagreed with Joe that I wasn't, you know, pushing to draft an offensive lineman with a top 10 pick, but I'm also not surprised Mekhi Becton got hurt. I think anyone who's surprised,
please,
you're crazy. Like, how could you be surprised? Yeah. That's the biggest problem. He hasn't been able to stay healthy. Do you get the impression that the Jets are surprised?
No, I don't think they're surprised. I think they had to know this could happen. You know, there was some, obviously they were very disappointed, and they were probably hoping if he did get hurt, it'd be a 4-game injury or something like that, not season ending in the beginning of August. But you had two, like, Fant's coming off knee surgery too, right? George Fant had off-season knee surgery. He's been on a pitch count in practice. He's not getting every snap, so they're still bringing him along. So you had two tackles who both had knee surgery. You had to be worried about this. That's why. So you can argue the draft Evan Neal or draft Ikem Ekwonu, but then the second part of that is, they should have probably addressed this before today, backup tackle. And, you know, Douglas couldn't fill every single hole on the roster, but he rolled the dice here at backup tackle, and we'll see how it plays out for them now that Becton is out.
He could have, you know, they could have re-signed Morgan Moses too. I mean, I don't know what the deal was with that, but I mean, they could have, you know, they could have brought him back, right?
I think Moses wanted to go somewhere where he was going to be a starter, and I think Baltimore told him he'd start down there.
Mm-hmm.
So I do think, you know, bringing him back, they probably would have had to say, you know, they weren't going to tell him he was going to be the starter.
They couldn't have promised him that. He's right. Like, they could have told him, hey, Mekhi's going to get hurt, don't worry. But if Becton was healthy, as good as Moses was, he wasn't going to start for this
team. No.
Yeah,
but like I said, to me, this is all about justifying the fact that it was Joe Douglas's first ever draft, and that draft is a disaster. I mean, let's be honest. Last year's was pretty good. It's a great draft if Zach Wilson becomes the real deal.
Yeah.
This draft looks like it's really good on paper. But that first draft was a disaster, Brian. Let's be honest.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, I wasn't ready to say get rid of Becton before this year. I think you had to give him a chance to come back after the injury last year and give him a chance, because there were some promising moments his rookie year. He did some good things when he was on the field. He just couldn't stay on the field.
Right.
And then, you know, last year he gets a knee injury. You know, in week one, it wasn't like he was out all the time, you know, with different injuries. It was just the one big injury. Couldn't get back on the field. But I just don't think you could write him off after 2 years. So I understand why they brought him back this year. But, yeah, right now, I mean, the outside of the punter, it doesn't look like they're going to get much from the 2020 draft contributing. Right?
You mean Denzel Mims isn't going to the Pro Bowl? What a disgrace.
What are they going to do with Denzel Mims? Is he going to make the 53? Are they going to deal him? Like, what's the immediate future of Denzel Mims?
I would trade him. I wrote that last week. I don't know what you can get for him right now, but I would roll him out there in the preseason, give him every opportunity to showcase himself, and then try to make a move. You know, you look at it right now, and they've got Corey Davis, they've got Garrett Wilson, they got Elijah Moore, Braxton Berrios. So there's four. So at the best, he's the fifth receiver. If you watch practice, he's not even the fifth. Like, Jeff Smith's ahead of him. You know, they even rotate some other guys in ahead of him. He's getting a lot of third-team reps. So I have to think there's somebody out there that would trade a sixth-round pick for Denzel Mims. The guy is 2 years removed from a pretty impressive pre-draft process where he ran a 4.3. He's a big guy, big catch radius. There has to be someone out there that liked him in the draft that would trade for him. So I think that's what they'll probably do before the season. Evan, if it comes down to it, do they cut him? Do they keep him? I think then that's a numbers game where they're figuring out the positions. And, you know, he is one guy that has size. They don't have a lot of size in that receiver room outside of him and Corey Davis, so maybe they hold on to him. But he has no special teams value, it's hard to have a sixth receiver on your team that doesn't play special teams.
But and that third-round draft pick that year was great, huh? Ashton Davis? What a pick that was.
Yeah, you were on that show.
On it? I was delirious when they didn't. First of all, I was delirious they didn't take Claypool with that second pick instead of Mims, okay? I know he had some problems in Pittsburgh last year. But, and then when they took the, remember that show with Ashton Davis?
Oh, yes.
Was that a Swiss Army knife? Oh, he plays old. Oh, he's tremendous. Please. Is he even on a team? Is he going to make the team? What is the deal
He'll
with
make
him?
The team, yeah. But he's, you know, he's a backup safety.
He's terrible.
Right now. They had to go out and sign Jordan Whitehead
because he's terrible.
Not a starter, you know? So,
right.
And they re-signed LaMarcus Joyner.
He ran track at Cal.
But remember this. A part of why you hated the pick was you thought it was telling us the future that they were going to trade Jamal Adams, which we were against.
Well, but I was
that
wrong about
that.
That
turned out to be the greatest
how great
decision
is that?
Joe Douglas has made.
And how much do you love the fact that is Jamal in Seattle? You know, not exactly a place I'd want to be, but there he is in Seattle. You're happy, Jamal. You got your money. Your team stinks. Russell Wilson's gone. I hope you're happy.
He's watching Geno Smith as a starting quarterback.
God bless
now.
Him. And when the sad part is the Jets got to go there this year and play them. You know they're losing that game.
I mean, you're better not.
I don't care. Bro, there is no way to beat in Seattle. I don't care who the quarterback is. Drew Lock, it don't matter.
If the Jets are going to be any good, and our hope is that they are, that they're actually going to win games this year.
They should beat the Seahawks.
Then that's a game you win.
They should.
Yeah, that's a tough one. I mean, that's New Year's Day, New Year's Eve around there.
Is that when that game is?
Yeah, I think it's New Year's Day. The game. So... That's a long, long ways away. Who knows what these teams will look like at that point. But, yeah, and when's the last time the Jets won in Seattle? Right?
Never. I don't know. Did they ever win there?
But here's the overall
point for me. That opening day. Right. Neil O'Donnell threw like 5 touchdown passes in that game.
But here's the point. The Jets have to win games this year. I think we all should be in agreement on that. That winning 6
First
games
two.
Is not enough. Winning 5 games, it's improvement.
They
got to
be 2-0. They got to beat the Ravens. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear how great the Ravens are. I want to beat the Ravens at home and then beat the Browns without Watson. 2-0.
I think you're dreaming, Joe.
Why am
I
dreaming? I'm dreaming.
The Ravens are good.
How good are they?
They're pretty good.
They're pretty good. Are they playing Buffalo? Healthy. No. Are they playing Kansas City? No. Are they playing the Bucks? No. I'm tired of it. You know what? I'm sorry. I don't want to yell at you. I am tired of the nonsense. You're going to go lose to the Ravens, right? They give us all this propaganda all year, this garbage. I apologize. I know we're coming out to SNY. It's not your fault. But that commercial that I see all the time on SNY, how do you know something's going to happen even though you haven't seen it yet? Oh, really? What nonsense.
Uh-oh, Evan. You better call Craig and tell him the SNY.
They're not the ones that make the commercial. That's the Jets commercial, and it happened to be the Jets station. I get it. I'm not knocking SNY for that. I'm knocking the Jets. It's a joke. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, look,
and then they're going to lose opening day. The Ravens will beat them. They'll probably blow a 20-point lead in the game. And then we're supposed to sit there and say, oh, things are, don't worry. And then when they lose to Jacoby Brissett and the Browns, oh, don't worry. And then when they get killed by Joe Burrow and the Bengals, who'll be wanting to get revenge after losing them to him last year, don't worry. And then when this guy, the guy from Pitt, the new quarterback with the Steelers beats them, and they're 4-0-4 again, we're going to be sitting there, but it's coming. Don't worry.
It's coming.
No, they got to win. To me, opening day against the Ravens is a must freaking win. That's it. Win that game. You haven't won a game in September since Sam Darnold's first game.
I know.
Are you kidding me?
It's incredible. It's incredible that they haven't.
And they better beat the Patriots
ever.
At least once this year. Yeah. And they better beat the overrated Dolphins. I am these Dolphin fans. They are delirious.
Oh, they believe Tua is the next Johnny Unitas.
Well, not only that, they get rid of this guy. He's one of the best coaches in football. They bring in some guy I never heard of, and they're all giddy about
him.
Oh, he's great. He's this. He's that. What's his name? McDaniel or something?
Yes.
Give me a break. I'm sorry. I'm so glad. Aren't you glad I'm black, Brian?
I am. It's good to hear this
again. I talked to Brian the other day. I did. I talked to Brian the other day, and I want to ask you this question because let's get back to me not going crazy. You like Breece Hall's the one rookie that you really, really like right now.
Yeah, okay. Really like him right now. I think he's the guy who can have an immediate impact. You know, that position is one where it ain't a whole lot different than college, right? Other than the blocking aspect they're going to ask him to do. He just has kind of the way he runs, his running style, it reminds me a little bit of Le'Veon Bell with Pittsburgh. Not Le'Veon Bell with the Jets. Le'Veon Bell with Pittsburgh.
God, if he becomes Le'Veon Bell with Pittsburgh, we will be
very happy about that.
Just patient, you know, kind of patient, waits for things to open. And he's got this kind of just, you know, they're not tackling right now, but they run up and wrap. And you see him, he makes people miss. And he's a good receiver out of the backfield. I think they got something there. You know, the other guys, it might take a little while to adjust to the NFL.
Let me jump to one rookie that to me is their most important rookie. The guy that needs to make the most immediate impact. I'd put him even above Breece Hall. and that would be Sauce Gardner.
Yeah.
They need Sauce, not only because of where he was picked, but that position was dreadful a year ago. Do you think he makes, boom, an immediate impact where he looks like the elite cornerback they need him to be?
I'm not sure he'll do that, be elite immediately, right? Look, even think back to Revis. It took Revis a year, and then the second year it was like, okay, that's the guy. His first year wasn't like that. There are moments in practice where Sauce locks guys up. He locked up Garrett Wilson yesterday. Like Garrett Wilson could do nothing. He just shut him down. I mean, the guy is, he's tall. He's long. I think he needs to kind of fill out a little bit more, but he is a big guy, and there's been impressive moments in camp. We need to see him against other people, obviously. I'm curious, not even the preseason games as much. They're doing joint practices with the Falcons next week. I'm curious to see that when he's facing other teams and see how it looks there. But I think he can have an impact, Evan, and I think he'll definitely be better than what they had last year. I don't know if I say he's going to be elite right out of the gate.
Who's the other corner?
The other corner is DJ Reed, the guy they signed from Seattle.
Okay, right, okay.
So he's dealing with a hammy right now. And Bryce Hall is still in the mix.
Right, right.
They've kind of played this game of, like, they're not going to make Sauce the starter right away. Bryce Hall.
He's going to stop.
Coach stuff, you know. But,
stop. Yeah. Stop.
If the number four pick isn't starting week one, the GM gets fired.
Let me tell you something. I better see an impact from every one of these guys. I mean, every draft choice they had, even the kid Clemens, the defensive lineman. I better see impact from everybody.
I don't know how much Clemens is going to play. I mean, they've got some edge rushers now. Even Jermaine Johnson.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how much he's going to play.
Really?
Because you got John Franklin Myers and Carl Lawson out there, right? And then I think they'll kick Franklin Myers inside on passing downs. They really like this guy, Jacob Martin, that they signed from Houston, and he's been impressive in camp. So he's out there too. So I'm curious to see how much Jermaine Johnson, how much playing time he gets. We'll kind of see more now in the preseason game start, how much they let him loose. But he's been a little bit buried on the depth chart in training camp. And then Clemens is obviously even further down the depth chart.
I apologize. We do have to go. But we will talk to you down the road, maybe on Saturdays. We'll reunite with Brian. Good talking to you, man. Good catching
up. Great talking to you guys. Great to hear you guys together.
Brian.
The great Brian Costello on the Jets.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.